Doesn't matter if you love him or capital H-I-M-M-M-M-M-M. Just put your paws up, cause you were born this way, baby.
Good afternoon, everyone. You're listening to Twin Cities Pride Amplified on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. I'm your host, Andy Otto, and executive director of Twin Cities Pride. I want to welcome you all to the show. Our goal is always to keep you in the know by hitting important topics, upcoming events, and let you know how you can get involved. But of course, we can't start the show without saying good afternoon to Rena.
Aw, thank you, Andy. Good afternoon to you as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I can hardly believe it. We are coming up on April already. And I just thought it might be interesting to let our listeners know how much work has already gone into our festival planning for this year as we head into April.
AKA our office is a disaster.
Yes. It's a good thing that we record here at the beautiful AM 950 headquarters.
Not our office. You never know what you're going to see in there.
Yes. Yes.
It's been great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have to give props to my team because they are the best team in the world. Both my paid staff and my volunteer staff, like, this would not be put on.
They are
them.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but on a side note, we are still looking for entertainers for the festival. So if you're interested in that, you got an awesome talent, you want to showcase it in front of, well, not to intimidate people, but like 600,000 people, it's fine. It's fine.
600,000 of your closest friends in the community.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, they're not all sitting in front of the stage when you do it, so it's fine. I mean, but you can always go to our website if you're interested in that, tcpride.org. Fill out the little submittal application, mm-hmm. and we'll get you rocking and rolling.
Yes, that is a good reminder. Yeah. Always keep that festival in the back of your mind. Registration's They fill up fast.
Seriously, it's going to blink and it's going to be here.
Oh, it is. It is. And speaking of the festival, we are joined by someone today that is with an organization that will most certainly be at our festival. We are joined today by Anne Sutkowie-Hemstreet from Queer Space Collective.
Hello.
And thank you so much for joining us today, Anne.
Happy to be here.
Yeah. So there's a lot of people who are familiar with Queer Space, but I think most are not. So do you want to explain a little bit about Queer Space's mission, what you do, all that fun stuff?
Sure. So Queer Space Collective started back in 2021, so it's growing fast, but it is a new organization. We focus on mentoring for LGBTQ youth. So we match LGBTQ grown-ups one-to-one with LGBTQ youth, because we know that if LGBTQ youth have one accepting adult in their life, they're much more likely to have positive mental health and less likely to attempt suicide or have depression.
Yep, for sure. So you guys match up these individuals. Is it everybody from the LGBTQ community? I know there's, you know, some orgs that really focus on the trans. But I think that leaves something to be left out there.
Yeah. So we in the Twin Cities, and I guess I should have explained a little bit more. So we have both a Twin Cities and St. Cloud programming. In the Twin Cities, we match people one-to-one. And yes, anyone in the queer community, 25 and older, can be a mentor. Cool. And then 12 to 17 years old for the mentees. Mm-hmm. We definitely have needs with our mentees right now. So I'm just going to put a little plug in for any mentors. So we have mentees who are trans or non-binary identifying and BIPOC, Black specifically, that we want to be matched with people with similar identities. Mm-hmm. So we're always looking for mentors that fill those identities so that we can match them with someone who they can relate to.
I think just because we're on this topic, what is the time commitment?
Sure.
I know that's a big thing with volunteers.
Yes, it is a rather large commitment to be a mentor. So we ask people to commit to a year. And that looks like 3 to 5 hours a month. So we ask mentors and mentees to meet up 2 to 3 times a month for an hour to 2 hours. And that can look a lot of different ways. Some mentors and mentees are chatting by text message and meet up for our monthly hangouts. We provide opportunities for people to hang out together and with other matches. That can look like going to the zoo. That can look like going out for coffee, reading books together, cooking together. It can look a lot of different ways, and it depends on what the match is interested in.
For sure. That's really cool. Yeah. I think it's a unique program, and I know Nikki, the original kind of founder of it, mm-hmm. had this vision, and now you guys are celebrating your third birthday, right?
Yes.
Yeah. It's crazy. I love it, though. Mm-hmm. I think it's so needed, especially when we look at the statistics. And even the statistics are only what's reported, right?
Yep.
Like, we say that about a lot of things. Statistics only show what is reported, not what's actually out there.
Yep.
And so, unfortunately, we know there's a lot of kids that are still hiding their identity, still struggling to figure out their identity. And as parents, I think this program helps alleviate some of that from the parent because they don't know. Maybe they're not in it. They're not part of the community themselves. And so it's a way for them to allow their child to kind of mm-hmm. express with other folks who get it.
Yeah, I think it's a beautiful way for parents to show their acceptance and support by connecting their kid with someone who really understands if the parent is not part of the LGBTQ community. Right. So I totally agree with that.
And you said Minneapolis and St. Cloud.
Yeah, right. So Twin Cities and St. Cloud. And in St. Cloud, we have, instead of one-to-one mentorship, it's a group mentorship model.
Oh, sure.
So we do like kind of like community ed youth workshops. So like April 10th, we're starting a theater workshop. And we'll have 12 to 18 kids slots for kids to go through this 6 to 8 week program. And there will be LGBTQ mentors joining for that community ed workshop. So it's more of a group, less of the one-to-one. And we do that here too. Right now we're in the middle of our bowling workshop, which is awesome.
Bowling.
Yes, it's
fun.
So fun.
Just going to sneak into that program.
Yeah, would love for you to come by.
I can't tell you I'm a good bowler. Let's be real. Can we put the bumpers down? Because, and the little like shoot thing, right?
Totally, yeah. Totally.
So it kind of sounds like sky is the limit as far as professions or topics or interests, things that you might cover as far as the mentorship opportunities. Like, is there a certain area that you are particularly seeking or...
You mean for mentors?
Yes.
Anyone can be a mentor. It can be someone who has, you know, loads of degrees. It can be someone who has no degrees. It can be someone who is interested in, who's introverted, someone who's extroverted. Mm-hmm. We really work to match people based on kind of what they say, their, you know, who they are. And we try to match them with someone who would be a good fit. And we don't always get it right. And sometimes we get it really well. You know, we nail it. So it's really fun. And we can always adjust. If it's not working, there are other people to match with.
Yeah. See, right? The really, really good times makes up for the maybe that wasn't
totally,
the right
move. Totally.
Yeah. I mean, we all do it.
Right? Absolutely.
So we have so many questions for you coming up, but we're going to take a quick break. So stay tuned because we're going to continue the conversation about queer space and your journey here to Minnesota because it's not a typical one.
No.
So you're listening to Twin Cities Pride Amplified on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Twin Cities Pride Amplified on AM 950. I am your co-host, Rena Heisel, as always, here with Andy Otto, Executive Director of Twin Cities Pride. And we are talking with Anne Sutko-Hemstreet from the organization Queer Space Collective.
So, Anne, before break, we talked a little bit about the mission of Queer...
to one relationship.
For sure.
People can go to our website and sign them up, and they it's just an application, and then we go through kind of a multiple step process to screen people, either on the, you know, the mentor side with background checks and all of that. And then on the mentee side, we do like a meet and greet and ask them questions about what they're looking for and, you know, who might be a good fit for them, what it is that they, you know, what support they're looking for right in that moment, and any issues that, you know, we need to be considering when we're matching them and supporting them throughout the year.
Sure. So what happens to these mentees when they're waiting for a mentor? Like, how does that mm-hmm. work? Because I got to imagine that you got to try to keep them engaged in it and not disappointed that they don't have a mentor right at the moment.
That's right. That part is really hard because as soon as we see people sign up, we want to find them like the best match. Yep. And they're not always there yet. So we add them into our like newsletters right away so that they are welcome to join us for our monthly hangouts. So we have those for matches, but we also invite anyone who's closed a match but is still participating in our community. Like once you're part of the community, you're part of the queer space
Absolutely.
Community.
Yep.
So we invite them to come to those meetups. They're welcome to join the group workshops that we have, like the bowling workshop that's happening right now. We have several mentees in our bowling workshop and mentors, actually, that haven't been matched yet but are participating in the group workshop.
Cool.
So that means they're coming in weekly and seeing us and meeting other mentees that are part of the program, or it could be just youth that are doing the workshop and have no interest in being one-to-one matched.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Do you get some mentees that aren't really wanting to be one-on-one matched?
We definitely have several youth who would prefer be in the group setting. It's more about matching up to or finding community and being mm-hmm. with other youth than it is about having that accepting adult in their life. So
totally get
it
that.
Totally depends. Yep.
I
that
totally
is something
get that.
Our orgs definitely have in common. Is the creating the community.
Creating the community.
Especially safe spaces for youth.
It's yeah.
So
which is really
right
hard
now.
Right now in Minnesota. So I want to talk about your journey here because I think that plays right into it. Mm-hmm. So you are not from Minnesota.
No, I'm not. Where I'm from is the question coming next, and that one's complicated because I've lived a lot of different places.
Okay, well, where did you come from?
Come from last.
Yeah, last.
I came
there
from North Carolina with my wife and two kids. Yeah. Okay.
So what made you move to Minnesota?
So we thought we were going to be staying in North Carolina for the long haul. We were kind of making it home. My wife completed a residency for a teaching residency in North Carolina and then got an amazing job offer at University of Minnesota. This was not our first, like, let's go to Minnesota.
Whatever do you mean? We're awesome here.
You really are, though. Like, so I am going to say, like, I'm really happy to be here. But I know we've gotten, like, the easiest winter to ever
acclimate. I was like, welcome to the non-winter winter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But when we were making our decision, and I started my own organization in North Carolina around supporting and building community for LGBTQ families. So it was really hard to leave that work behind. But ultimately we have a queer family, we have a non-binary kiddo, and the laws in North Carolina are, horrible and getting worse. We anticipate a new legislative session that's going to start attacking trans grown-ups in addition to trans youth. So we ultimately decided like the safety of our kid has to be the most important thing in this decision. So
and we're just
here.
Super cool here.
You are. You
we
are.
We're just super cool here.
We're really happy to be here.
But, you know, that I think coming into this state, not knowing the community, not really understanding what's out there has to be kind of difficult. How did you navigate that? Because it's not easy. We're kind of clicky sometimes.
I have heard. I actually feel like I've really lucked out because queer space. So I was like, okay, what am I going to do if we're moving for my wife's job? Like, and I'm leaving this big thing behind. Like, what am I going to do in Minnesota? I just said Minnesota like a Minnesotan, by the way.
You did, yes. We're proud of you.
Yep, thank you.
Well done.
Thank you. So I was like, let me look for LGBTQ jobs in Minnesota back in August. I just like Googled it. And this queer space program director position came up and I read it and then I shared it with my wife and I shared it with our best friends. And they were like, oh my God, like that job was made for you. That's like exactly what you do. Mm-hmm. And so I applied and went through the process, and Nikki and I knew it was a good fit, and I'm just so grateful. So, like, I already kind of have this built-in community. Queer Space did that for me, too, and my family. Like, we moved here, and I'm not going to lie, some things happened. Like, I've had a death in the family, and my purse was stolen the week we moved here with my kids in the car, and it was a horror. And, like, the Queer Space staff just, like, rallied around us and, like, really just made me feel like part of the family immediately. So it's made the transition a lot smoother.
Yeah, I don't know that, if that would have happened to me the first week, I would have been like, okay, well, bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Yikes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And so, you know, it is a big adjustment.
Yeah.
We've given you a very nice winter.
You're
welcome.
Thank you
for that. So you have not been here for Pride?
No.
Oh.
No.
Hold your horses.
I'm so excited, though.
It's a lot. It's a lot. But it's fantastic, and we have a lot of good time. But it is, you know, something about Pride is you walk in, and it's family.
Yep.
Like, nobody cares who you are, what you do, how you're dressed, whatever. It's just family.
Yep.
And every time somebody asks me to describe it, it's really hard. Like, it's literally like you're walking into a house that you've lived in for years.
Totally.
And you walk in and you're like, okay. And I am not surprised at all, knowing Nikki and her staff and all that, that they were like, hey, no worries. We got you. Like,
did.
We'll figure it out. So it's always been, I mean, that's our community. That's the, you know, environment that Nikki has created in Queer Space. And I've had the privilege of getting to know the team over there over the past year. And there's fun and exciting things, because I don't think you guys are stopping at this, are you?
Oh, no.
Yeah, we're definitely not.
Nikki and the entire team very visionary and, you know, kind of shoots.
Hey, that sounds familiar.
Shoots for the stars, I think. Mm-hmm. So I imagine we have lots of ideas of where to go from here. You know, in addition to continuing to provide more mentorship opportunities and quality relationship support through our program, we have all sorts of cool ideas for different group workshops coming up. We've got a blacksmithing workshop, and it's going to be awesome. We're really excited about that. But we also are talking about opening a space, an actual physical space, so that we can provide drop-in hours and have spaces for our mentors and mentees to hang out together in a safe space, because they don't always have a space to do that. And that will open up the accessibility of our matching program to more people. Yeah. We also talk about this idea of virtual mentoring. We're exploring that idea, especially for reaching more rural or harder to reach communities, that will make it more accessible for people.
Yeah, it's really frustrating. Even for me, it's like, how do you get to that kid who's in, you know, Podunk, Minnesota, and really just needs that family and that community? And how do you reach them? How do you get to them? And unfortunately, I don't think we've all quite figured that out.
We haven't. And it's especially those kids that don't have parent and caregiver support that I think we're still trying to, like, what are the ways to reach that so that we don't need parent caregiver permission to support the youth, because they really are the ones that desperately need.
Yeah. Yep. They do.
Community.
Yep.
Yeah.
The silver lining is, I can say, just sitting here on this program, is this is such a recurring theme throughout the orgs that we have had on. We had Ryan Fouts on from Reclaim, and they were talking about all their plans for reaching out across into greater Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I know Twin Cities Pride, we have been working really hard to work with our regional prides on promoting them and trying to get the word out. And it sounds like Queer Space is also looking on how to branch out and get some care into places that are needed.
Yep.
So that is a positive. It's nice to hear that. I mean, everybody is thinking about our greater Minnesota community too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I know Nikki has been looking for that space for quite a while. So I'm going to put this out into the universe and all of our listeners that if you have an awesome space that is accessible via public transportation, because that's important.
Disability accessible as well.
Yes,
right?
And you're just, you know, super passionate about making sure someone that goes in there that's making a difference in the community, I know how to get you in touch with Nikki.
Thank you.
Yes, you can reach out to me at tcpride or andy.otto@tcpride.org, and I will connect you or go to Queer Spaces website, which is what?
queerspacecollective.org.
Yep. There we go. And reach out to Nikki. So if you've got that space that you're like, what am I going to do with this? I should let a nonprofit move into here. I know the nonprofit.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Yes. I know she's been looking for that space for a while.
We feel like we might be close, but I don't feel like I can totally share because it's not.
But
we may be close.
Yeah.
Awesome. I also know that can happen a few times before you finally
I think
land.
It actually did happen to you all once.
Yes.
Yeah. 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 Where Nikki was like, yes, we got a space. And then. Oh, man.
It's hard, and it's got to be the right space, and it's got to be the right time. So
and the right
it'll happen.
Price.
Yes. So it,
because we're nonprofits.
We're putting it out into the universe.
Yes.
I feel confident that
I put everything out into the universe.
Yeah.
I did put out that Taylor Swift should give us $1 million, but that hasn't come true
yet.
So, you know, because I know she's listening to this program right now.
Absolutely.
I'm just going to put it out there again.
Got it.
Please, I try. I know it's a shameless plug for all of us, but all of us struggle to find funding.
Yes.
I mean, I've said this time and time again, the LGBTQ community only gets, 1% of the philanthropic dollars, and it's not enough.
No, it's not enough. I do think you live in I want to give Minnesota some positive reinforcement, because given the space I've come from and the space we're in now in Minnesota, like the funding opportunities are more here than in North Carolina. It's nearly impossible to get any LGBTQ funding besides from specifically LGBTQ funders, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, I think it's, and if it feels hard here, imagine how hard it feels in some of the other states that are. Yeah, it's rough. It's a rough time right now.
Got to give a shout out to our corporate sponsors too. I know sometimes we get a lot of grief for having corporate sponsors, or at least Twin Cities Pride does.
Yeah.
However, it's necessary, because we can't do the work without the sponsorship dollars and the grant dollars and all that funding. And so Minnesota corporations have been really great about stepping up and seeing where the need is. And not only is it supporting the community as a whole, but also their employees. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are a very large state for LGBTQ population.
Yeah. And something we are allowed to do because of that corporate sponsorship is ours is the largest free Pride festival in the nation.
That's amazing.
Over
actually,
2 days
in the world. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that doesn't happen without, our General Mills and our Deltas and people that do step up and help us out. And Andy, like he alluded to, it's good for their employees as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because the more connected we all are, the more education opportunities there are, the more Andy is invited to come in and speak to these places about how to have an inclusive workplace. I mean, the relationships that have been formed only make Minnesota a more friendly place to be in the LGBTQ plus community.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just the education that happens all around is so beneficial.
Totally.
It is. And so back to Queer Space a little bit. So you said it's queerspacecollective.org is where you can find all of that stuff. It's an application process to be a mentee and a mentor.
Yes. Okay. So, go to queerspacecollective.org. And if you want to be a mentee, the parent caregiver can fill out that application or a case manager. And then a mentor can go right to the website and fill that out. You just have to be 25 or older. So that's the only requirement to start that application process.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And then just so parents know, you go through a background check.
Absolutely.
And all that fun stuff. Because I know people panic.
There's multiple, and we're pretty rigid in our requirements. You know, just because it's the safety of our kids. And as a parent, like that matters a lot to me to make sure that that's what we're doing as a program. But we also, like, if we have people who are who don't fill the requirements, but it's not a safety issue, we have the group mentoring opportunities. Mm-hmm. We have other volunteer opportunities for people who are 25 and older. So there's lots of ways to get involved with Queer Space. Besides that mentor relationship, too.
Which I love, because, you know, and it isn't always conducive to everyone's life, but yet you still want to be part and you still want to get involved. And, you know, so it looks at, you know, if you're not the right fit for that mentorship program, you can opt to the group programs, you can donate financially, you can, you know, just giving resources to these orgs makes a world of difference.
It's huge.
I mean, I can't say it enough. And as a trans refuge state, and, you know, I have a little bit of an issue now with calling it a trans refuge state, because it's not just a trans refuge state. It's an LGBTQ refuge state. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's an important distinction. And I get why they called it a trans refuge state. I understand that.
Yeah.
But I think I've decided that it's my mission to make sure that all the other letters in our alphabet mafia know that you can come here too.
Yep.
Because you will be safe and protected and loved.
Yeah.
Loved.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes, let's face it, we have a staff member who moved from Missouri.
Yep.
And, you know, and it's just, you're here, you're loved. You don't have to deal with that anymore. And, you know, I look at it, and I know some other folks in Missouri and Kansas City and who run all that pride, and they're losing good people.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because their state can't get their stuff in a bunch.
Yep.
Yes,
stuff.
I know. I didn't swear. I wanted to, because you all know that. Yeah. I'm proud of myself. I swear like a sailor. So
do I. You know. I'll follow your lead.
I know, right? You're like, and no. So to all of our listeners, please know that we held restraint.
Yes.
The airwaves don't allow it, so we're fine.
I think it's important what you're saying about LGBTQ refuge state. And we have some, I know of families from North Carolina besides mine who are moving here. And it really is... Even just how you all are right now, we moved here and we could breathe a little more. And it's hard to explain, but it feels really hard in those states where they've made it nearly impossible to just, like, raise your kid. It's hard enough to raise kids, but if you're raising kids who need gender-affirming care, or you just want to send them to the public school and the public school isn't allowed to even mention gender in the classroom, you know, then the individuals in the state are, they're interpreting those laws even more, you know,
whatever,
so like,
do you mean?
we can't respect your pronouns either, you know, like, it's just, it's a little bit of a relief to be in a space that we can just have the hardships of everyday parenting.
Right, right. When your child won't put on
exactly.
a pair of socks in the morning.
Exactly.
Because, and it's
30 the right color.
Degrees out,
yep.
or it's whatever.
Yep. it's hard enough.
It is hard enough.
Yep.
And then to add that extra layer. And I think, you know, as families and adults, it's hard not to... You know, how do you even communicate that with a kid as to what's going on? And I look at your mentorship program and I think, you know, sometimes someone from the community can explain it a little bit better than, you know, because how do you explain it? I've had to explain it to my kids. You know, they're like, well, I want to go to Florida. And I go, well, dad's not really accepted in Florida.
Yep.
And unfortunately, if somebody found out that I was trans, although I pass as a cis white man, if somebody found that out, it wouldn't be a pretty situation.
Yep.
And how do you explain that to a 6 and a 4-year-old, you know, like
it's hard.
It is hard. And they're like, but it's the, you know, the happiest place on the earth. Right. Yes, Disney World is. However, the rest of the state around it is not.
Right.
And, you know, that's a hard conversation. And, you know, I was talking to Rena about me even flying to some of these events. You know, I was in Guadalajara last year for an Interpride conference. And, you know, we've been in Vegas and San Diego and kind of all over the place. And this coming year, they're looking at Colombia. And, you know, I look at direct flights.
Yep.
And those are things that people don't have to think about.
Right.
Like, I look at a direct flight. Please don't make me stop in, you know, Ohio or Florida or, you know, the million other, Georgia.
Oh, gosh.
Tennessee.
Yeah.
Please don't make me stop in those states. Right. Like, or I will just be very kindly sitting in a chair and not moving. And, you know, that's a scary situation that most people don't have to deal with.
Yep.
And I think about these kids who are, unfortunately, they're looking at social media. They're seeing the news. They're seeing all these things happen. And so have you all noticed that that's been a topic of conversation with your partnerships?
Yeah, I think mostly we notice things were really quiet at our last workshop this week. And I think a lot of it had to do with Next Benedict. And even though we didn't talk about it specifically, we could have. But it was just present, right? We all just needed a space to be together. And I think that's, you know, back to some of the things we were talking about before. Like, it's just really important right now for us all to have spaces where we know everyone in the room gets how hard it is right now. Mm-hmm. We don't have to talk about it. We don't have to explain it. We don't have to justify why we're feeling sad or stressed or, you know, a little bit vulnerable. Like, it makes sense to people who are in the queer community. And so having those spaces for us all to just be together, even if we're not talking about it, is important.
Well, and that's, you know, as leaders in the community, and I'm sure you guys feel this pressure too, is all the bad things. It's like you have to find that balance between talking about it and not scaring our kids and not making everything so negative. So it's like, you know, it's that, okay, well, I give you one thing negative, but I give you 10 things positive because it's like, okay, well, you know, yes, that, I mean, I was angry at that situation. Like I mean, almost was like, I'm going to get in the car. I'm going to go to Oklahoma and I'm going to figure this out. Like I'm just mad. And, but yet here, you know, we get the folks and the young adults who come into Rainbow Wardrobe in our office. And, you know, it's like you have to keep the positivity there for them.
Yep.
But at the same time, like, you don't want to let that go. It's this horrible balance.
Totally.
I don't think people realize that as leaders in the community, like,
you're like parents for the whole community.
I know.
That just makes me think of what it's like to be a parent and the balance of being honest with them and sharing what's real and letting them know, but also sharing what's, because there is beauty in the world too, right?
Yep.
I think one other thing that I just saw a recent study that it was a youth survey, a national youth survey, and it showed how important hobbies were for youth's mental health. And I think that's another thing Queer Space Collective with our group workshops is really just naturally doing, is we're introducing youth to a whole lot of, you know, I've never blacksmithed, but I'm going to now.
Has?
But maybe we have a future, person who blacksmithing is going to bring them tons of joy. And bowling, have this incredible queer Puerto Rican national team bowler who's leading the facility. And Ray just taught, and they are a beautiful person, and they just talk about how much bowling has been this positive thing in their life. And they hope that, you know, one or two of these kids, yes, it's fun for the majority of the kids, and maybe it's going to give one or two kids, bowling is their hobby.
Mm-hmm.
Bowling brings them positive mental health.
Yeah. Well, bowling for me is, can I get the lowest score, not the highest score?
Bowling which I usually win at. Just like hanging out with friends and like, you know, eating pizza. I don't know. It's at Bryant Lake Bowl, so it's this historic queer space, right?
Bryant Lake Bowl is amazing.
That part feels really good too.
Yeah. That's so maybe a little additional call out to all of our listeners right now. You know, you don't have to. They're not queer space is not seeking out PhDs and all it. Do you have a hobby that you would love to share with young people?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and this could be, I mean, you're thinking of woodworking or any of these other kind of hobbies. This is blacksmithing.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're thinking, oh, kids might not be interested because this is kind of, you know, maybe an outdated thing or maybe they don't want to know about bird watching. Yes, they do. Absolutely do.
We're doing bird watching in May.
So.
We do it all.
Oh, my gosh.
I love that.
Yeah, see?
I love that. Yeah, yeah. I mean, and I've, as a parent of two very active children in sports, I've taken on some sports divisions about why that's so important for that kid. Like, that kid should never, you know, I took on Minnesota hockey at one point. I took on the NHL at one point. But it's that, like, you're saving a life.
Yep.
And even if that child is not good at the sport, it does not matter. You're saving their life.
Yep.
And, you know, when I talk to these people, I'm like, what if it was your kid? Like, what if it was your kid?
Right.
You know, and all of a sudden you realize that your kid is no longer here because they couldn't find community. They couldn't find a place that was safe for them.
Yep.
And so, unfortunately, we have to have programs. You know, I'd love to say that all of us go out of business as a nonprofit because we're not needed anymore.
Right.
We all know reality is that's not going to happen anytime soon, at least. But I would love it. I would love for one day that it's not necessary. And people are like, oh, why do you celebrate, you know, pride and blah, blah, blah. Well, because we still have inequities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We still have Next Benedict. Like, I'm just going to keep saying that because like, and that's the kid.
That's still happening.
We were talking earlier about like, we know what's reported, right?
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. Like, there are kids who are being bullied every day for their queer identity, and we're not hearing about it. And schools aren't calling the police or the ambulance, and legislators are trying to make things harder for everyone. So there's still a lot to be done.
Well, there were people. One thing that broke my heart is reading one of the stories is Nex's family saying, we didn't understand how bad it was.
Yep.
So just, you know, think about that when we talk about the non-reporting as well.
Yep.
Like,
yeah.
This can be in your family and your child is trying to spare you the pain of letting you know how bad it actually is.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why this is so needed.
Yep.
Well, and, you know, I just, the amount that kids have to deal with these days, it's even more important that we get a space.
That made me think of some of the youth that are in the queer space program might share with their mentor how things are because it's a step removed. It's still a grown up. It's a safe person, but it's not that parent caregiver. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's something to really consider. And like, you could be that person for a young person, right? You could be that adult that they feel safe enough to say, like, things are really bad at school. Like, I need help. I need support. Or they just, like, want help finding that hobby. Or they just need someone to laugh with, whatever, and, like, distract them from some of the bad stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that mentorship role is really important.
Yeah. We had a couple of weeks ago at our queer book fair, we had a trans author. 17, amazing book. But he said this was the first time he had ever felt comfortable sharing his book and autographing them and being out in the community. And that crushes my heart because he should be so proud of himself. I don't know of any 17-year-old that writes a book.
No,
right.
Like,
right.
It's incredible. I'm not that age and I don't write a book. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
yep.
That's a lot, and you should be really proud of that. And writing the experiences of what they're going through is amazing.
Yep.
And yeah, to your point, I mean, that mentor can hear it. I'm being bullied on social media. I'm, you know, being bullied at school or in, and I'm going to say it, a church program because I heard that the other day.
Yep.
Or, you know, my parents are sending me to a camp.
Yep.
And even though it's illegal in this state, but, you know, we all know it's there. We're not oblivious to that. But yeah, it's just there's so much going on that as leaders in the community, sometimes we have to tuck that in the back of our heads. Now, mind you, we get a whole, I don't know about you, but I get a whole lot of mental health support. yes, my therapist is on speed dial.
The helpers need help as well.
The helpers,
need to take care of themselves or there will be no gas left in the engine for helping anybody else.
That's right.
Yeah,
for sure. And our program, just so no one's scared to be a mentor.
Oh, yeah, please don't be.
We have a very amazing program staff that supports mentors in that. So if something were to come up during a conversation with a youth and you needed support figuring it out, you wouldn't be alone to do that. That we have like a team of helpers to help the helper help the youth.
Yes. And that, you know, and that's important too. Like you're not going at it alone.
No,
there are people in the org that are trained to do these things and they're trained to acknowledge what's happening. And, you know, you're not alone, but you're that ear that somebody feels comfortable with.
Yep.
That may not feel comfortable with anybody else in that office.
That's right.
And you've created that bond with them and, you know, hopefully you get to watch them graduate and, you know, move on to a successful life and be super proud of that. I mean, there's nothing more rewarding. Like, I'm sorry. In my world, there's nothing more rewarding than seeing a kid that, you know, grows up and is super proud of themselves.
Living their potential, right?
Their best life.
Yep.
Like, just enjoying it and understanding that. And, I think that's just a huge thing.
It's funny because we just were talking about, like, we did, and it is so hard to not do, but we went down to kind of that sad, dark place there for a little bit.
Did.
But there's lots of joyful things to celebrate, right?
100%.
And I'm sure you have seen lots of success.
Yep.
And you have seen the brightening of the kids' eyes and new interests found. And that is what it is all about, really.
That's what it's all about.
I'm super excited in like 10 years from now when you see that first batch of kids going off and just
that's like
that vision. That I'm like, okay, just a few more years and we'll get there and we'll be able to see it.
Yeah,
and, you know, that's what we worked for. And, you know, there it is. And
there could be queer space bowling jackets 5 years from now.
Yes, I want one.
Because they will have their own
Can
bowling
Can they be like that metallic, like,
totally,
you know,
the
you
shiny,
know what
I mean?
Yeah,
vinyl,
the shiny.
I don't
like,
even know if that's vinyl. But
there needs to
whatever
be
it is. Yeah.
Satin.
Oh, yeah, satin. That's probably it. Yeah, I don't know.
Yes.
I want a really cool logo on it, too.
We do envision our queer space youth, like, you know, the whole point, if to see success, when we talk about, like, what's our vision of success, it's seeing the youth that are in the program now in their 20s doing whatever makes them happy, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a, like, an achievement thing. It's a, like, whatever, seeing youth but leading change, right? Like, being part of the change, being that friend to somebody else who needs it, like, finding the hobbies that make you happy. Come back and be a mentor to a mentee, right? Like
that's
success.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is just somebody being able to live their most authentic life.
Yep.
In with ease, right?
Yes. Yep.
That's the goal for, I think, all of us.
Yep.
Yeah.
And on that note, we have to take another break, but we will be right back to talk more with Anne from Queer Space about how you can get involved a little bit more or where to find all this stuff. You're listening to Twin Cities Pride Amplified on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Don't be discouraged, don't worry, it's hard to take courage.
We are back, and you're listening to Twin Cities Pride Amplified on AM 950. I'm your co-host, Rena Heisel, along with Andy Otto, Executive Director of Twin Cities Pride. And we've been talking with Ann Sitkowie-Hemstreet from the organization Queer Space Collective, a nonprofit group here in the Twin Cities working to create mentorship and social gathering opportunities for LGBTQ+ youth here in the area. And at TC Pride, we're also very dependent on our volunteers to create these positive experiences for the queer community, especially youth queer community. Sometimes people are nervous to take that first step into volunteering, but it is so, so important. And what would you say to someone listening right now, Anne, who might be on the fence thinking, maybe I might get involved?
Yeah, I think do it. Jump in. We are there with you every step of the way. We provide a lot of training at the beginning, so people go through. They get materials. They also have an orientation for all mentors. We provide mentor workshops throughout the year to help them gain, you know, positive strategies for communicating with kids and youth, and all sorts of things that we do trainings on throughout the year. And on the training note, I just want to say Queer Space Collective also does a lot of training for local youth-serving organizations and companies. So we have our training director, Jonathan, is an incredible trainer and does a lot of good work throughout the year providing trainings for organizations, too.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we get a lot of allies who listen to this show. What's your advice to them? Because sometimes they sit there and they don't really know what to do.
Right. So I would say first, if you're an ally who works for an organization that could host a workshop, that would be a great way to start your journey as a ally organization supporting the LGBTQ community. We need allies who take action, right? So we, although our program is LGBTQ grown-ups serving LGBTQ youth and creating those relationships, there's still room for allies to be showing up for our LGBTQ community, whether it's at Lobby Day today, which I'm not at because I'm here, or speaking up at your schools, making sure your schools are doing what they need to do to have LGBTQ affirming spaces. Mm-hmm. We know that LGBTQ and gender affirming organizations, workplaces, schools, like that benefits everybody. So, if you need to feel like it's also going to benefit yourself, we all whether you're queer or not, having a gender inclusive space is positive. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And allies, I think sometimes, and Rena, you can speak to this as an ally to the community, but
sometimes I think allies might feel a little intimidated to jump in because, you know, you're scared. You don't want to say the wrong thing. You think maybe this isn't, you know, my space. I don't want to take any space away from, you know, if other people enjoying an event or whatever. But it's literally the more the merrier.
Yeah, we can't do it without our allies.
Right.
Like, it's that simple.
Yeah, absolutely.
We cannot do it without it.
The other side is way too loud for it to just be the LGBTQ community speaking out against the negative stuff that's happening right now. We must have allies' voices in fighting against all of the anti-LGBTQ bills.
And I mean, I know the media makes us seem like we're three-fourths of the population, but we're actually not.
That's right.
We're quite tiny.
Right.
So,
well, and in those small spaces, like in schools that aren't affirming or in communities that are less affirming, like the LGBTQ community doesn't feel like they can speak up. So it's essential that allies are speaking up in those communities in particular.
Right. Yeah. And if allies, if you are thinking, I do want to contribute and help create these spaces for youth, because, I mean, remember what that's like when you are a young person and you are just dying to have that friendship and that connection. Yep. And these are orgs that are creating those spaces for our young people. You can donate.
That's right.
You can donate your money if you cannot donate your time, because we, it's needed.
That's right.
We are nonprofits.
Yes. Yes, we are. Speaking of nonprofits, in a couple of weeks, you have something coming up.
Our birthday bash. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
So if you're an ally and you want to donate, but you also want to have fun with us, we're having our birthday bash, our third Queer Spaces third birthday. And it's a fundraising event. It's on Saturday, April 27th at 6 p.m. Tickets are $85. There's a VIP ticket that's slightly more than that, and I don't remember what the cost is, but the general admission tickets are $85, and that covers your dinner and drinks and lots of entertainment and good community. So allies,
it's a great time. I went last year.
Welcome.
It's a great time.
Awesome.
Absolutely great time. But speaking of that, I want to shout out to a sponsor of ours, Verizon. They actually had a blast last year at Pride. They came in kind of late to the game, but they saw the importance of of supporting the community. And so they came back with a sponsorship this year. So
cool.
Super big shout out to them. Shout out to Bryant Lake Bowl for their continued support. Always, always, always of the queer community.
Absolutely.
We know it's a queer space, but to call them out, please visit.
Yes.
Allies, visit these places, support them.
100%.
All that fun stuff, like all that money and patronage comes back to the community and supports the community and allows them to give nonprofits like ours a space for free sometimes.
Yes.
So
exactly.
Make sure that, you know, you're looking at that. So shout out to Bryant Lake Bowl because you've always been a great partner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, just like that.
Right.
We are out of time.
One quick. Can you tell our listeners where they can find you on social media?
Oh, yeah.
Queer Space Collective.
Okay, Queer Space Collective.
Both on Instagram and mostly on Instagram.
Yeah.
Mostly
Instagram. Go follow.
Yes, go find them.
So that you can keep in the know of everything going on.
Yes.
And if you come out, see you at the birthday bash because that'll
please.
Be super fun.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just like that. It's poof. We are like out of time.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, even though we could sit here and probably talk for another hour or so. But, you know, they say that we can only be in here for an hour.
Future episode.
So,
I'll come back.
Yeah, there we go. But we'll be back next week when we continue to dive into some important topics here in our community. Thank you so much for all of our listeners today. We hope that you come back next Saturday at 3 p.m. on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Please, let's take care of each other all year long.
Just put your paws up, 'cause you were born this way, baby.